Okay, so we wanted to talk about a number of things, marketing math, ratios, understanding stats, and really the difference between a client, a prospect, a suspect, and how to really think about how all that stuff works. And and by the way, I mean, I just bounced my head against the wall, you know, with some of these big companies. I was, you know, as you know, I have access to a bunch of this stuff behind the scenes. And one of the big companies, you know, they give you prospect list, but really what it is it's like Data Axel, aka Sales Genie, and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're people that don't know you at all, right?
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the most important things that any business owner, any entrepreneur, any financial advisor can know. You've got to understand the difference between these different types of clients or different levels of prospect that you may be encountering.
Yeah.
This is really critical. It's really life changing or business changing when you understand it.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, let's start with the the name is slipping my mind. I would give credit.
Jay Abraham, I thought was.
No, this okay. is well respected within the financial industry. But I was reading his material on marketing, which didn't really have much material on marketing. Truth be told,
that's pretty common.
But he made a statement that we're in a business where everybody needs our services. Well, to me, that's the worst marketing statement ever in the history of the world. Even to say that out loud, right?
Sure.
Is you want to pick what your perfect client is, and you want to go figure out where they hang out, and go find those people, right? And that's not a prospect; that's a suspect. Right, but we start with there's the entire world, and now I don't want the entire world. In fact, I want most of the world not to even care that I exist. I want to figure out who my perfect client is. Some people call that avatar. Make an avatar of my perfect
persona or avatar. Sometimes people say that now, but
right.
I think avatar is a better idea.
Yeah, or persona. But I want to be able to picture who my perfect prospect is, and then figure out where they hang out. And all I have so far is I have a suspect. I have somebody who looks the part, who I think would be a good client, who maybe looks alike, to use Facebook's language, a look-alike of maybe my current client base.
And it's really important just to anchor in the idea that when we talk to a lot of advisors, we say, well, who do you want to market to? And they go, well, everybody needs me. I want to work. And the idea is that if I market to the whole world, and for a lot of them, they think it's a 5-mile geography around their business, which is another mistake.
Which is really stupid.
If they market to the whole world, I'll have more possible clients. Therefore, I'll have more business. And it's exactly the opposite idea of what you should be doing. It's counter. And I understand that can be counterintuitive. If you market to more people, if you had more fish, you'd be able to catch more fish. But that's not really the case. If I was fishing, you don't see a salmon fisherman going after all the fish in the ocean. He goes after salmon and whatever other kind of fish.
Well, in fact, there's a commercial now. There's an iPhone app, and I forget what the heck it's called. But basically, it tells you where the best spots are to catch the best type of fish. I don't fish.
Oh.
You know, I don't think you either.
I don't either. But that is interesting.
But if you did, right?
Yeah.
And if, you know, I'm in Colorado, a great place not to go for marlin, but to go for trout.
I guess. Sure.
But I would want that. You know,
yeah.
where are they biting? Where is the most? You know, what lake is? You know, what are the best spots? One thing or another. But I mean, even using that analogy is, I don't just like throw it out into the lake if I'm smart about it. A friend of mine is a professional fishing guy, right? He's got the big, whatever they call them, big boat.
Yeah.
All the stuff,
right.
And he does the competitions.
The chair.
Yes. Shows what either one of us know.
Yeah, the boat with the chair.
But, I mean, they have the little sonar things,
yeah.
Right? And they have now they have an app, and they can tell on their app where they're biting. But that's it. You got to know.
What kind of fish?
What kind of fish?
Yeah.
And what bait they're attracted to.
Exactly.
And where they all hang out. So you can go fish in the right spot where they hang out, know which one you want, and know what bait they're attracted to.
Yeah, and it's the same thing for your clients. In every business, you got to know what you're looking for. It's not marketing to everybody. So that's got to get anchored in your head, and that's who your suspects are. Mm-hmm. those aren't prospects. And it's important to distinguish that term, so we're going to explain it to
you. Yeah. So a suspect is who you've targeted that you would like to be able to get interested, who you'd like to attract. And there's all kinds of marketing examples we can give of people doing this poorly, but also mistaking the idea of suspect and prospect,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so what we think is, once we build that avatar or that, you know, that profile of who we want, what we think is every one of them should want our service. But in reality, and Ogilvy's great comment, he was the inspiration for the TV show Mad Men.
Right.
His line was, you're not marketing to a standing army, you're marketing to a constant parade of humanity. But most of what he meant by that is not that everybody in any geography is moving all the time, but what he meant by that is their lives are changing constantly. They're getting married, they're getting divorced, they're getting, they just have the new job, they have an inheritance that come in. 6 months ago, they hadn't sensed their own mortality, and their brother-in-law, died or something.
Their dog died. Yeah, something else happened.
Yeah. But they have points at which they're immune to paying attention, and points at which they're really interested. And sometimes you can predict that. You know, if you sell cars, there's an itch cycle, right? So I start marketing to them 2 years after they bought the car. 3 years is kind of where most people would change. So if I was a car salesman, I would know everybody I've ever sold a car to make sure I'm really in front of them in 2 years.
Sure.
And I'm on top of it. But usually it's you know what that avatar, that perfect profile is of a suspect, and then you're going out to them, but you're going to be hitting a pool where maybe 90% of them are kind of immune to paying attention, but 10% are in buying mode. They're in the mode of looking. Maybe they currently have somebody. If you're marketing to 58-year-olds, they may already have an advisor, but we know the stats are they're usually not highly impressed.
Yeah, 60% of people are unhappy with their current financial advisor.
Yeah. 60%. And at the very least, unimpressed.
Right.
Right. Or it may be that for whatever reason, a life event hit that they're now receptive. You know, the Dan Kennedy story, which I think is a good one to use is, we can identify with, he had the first divorce, right? And so people are mailing him furniture catalogs and mailing him inserts in the newspaper, and there's ads on TV, and, there's the guy in Denver, it's the guy with the Lions, American Furniture, our friend a Mattress Mac in Houston has all his. But his comment was, I came home one day, and she had left with all the furniture, and now I've got a house that's empty except for the cat she abandoned. And the day before he came home to an empty house, he paid attention to no furniture stuff. And the day he came home, whoever hit him next, he was going to buy a bunch of furniture.
Right.
But it's a dramatic story, but it's how most people really are, is there's a point at which it dawned on them that they needed to worry about this, so they should be focused on it. Or a point at which they just got disgusted with whatever they're currently doing, right? And if you're not in front of them at that point, then you don't get them.
Yeah, and as you said, sometimes that can be predicted, and sometimes that can't be predicted. And if your ideal client, your suspect, is, we have one client we're working with that works with divorced, I think divorced women specifically.
Yeah.
So he can get lists of people that are newly divorced, and he could be mailing and emailing and texting and doing work with targeting them specifically. But for a lot of you, your ideal client isn't predictable. So you're going to be marketing constantly to your list, and you have to keep on marketing to them for when they wake up, when they pay attention, when they notice. And the ones then that we're going to talk about turn into prospects. And what the difference between those suspects, the ones that meet your criteria, and when they turn into prospects, what the difference between those two things are, and how you market to them differently.
Yeah. Well, and so, to leapfrog off of that example, I have a friend who has multiple law firms in different cities that does divorce. And he wrote a book called Confessions of a Divorce Assassin. And And he focuses
we
on...
I should have read that piece a while ago, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But
that's another story for a different
video. Jeff should have, because he specializes in mediation.
Yeah.
So he tells people not to, what my phrase, but not to put attorneys' kids through college.
Yeah.
You know, that's always my rule is, if I'm going to put anybody's kids through college, I want it to be... created them, yeah. But what he does is he's got the book, and he markets it to an audience that hasn't filed divorce yet, but a percentage of them are thinking about it statistically. So, and he's predominantly focused on women, so he's focused on women of a certain age group, and I forget what his criteria is, but he's getting to them while they think about it, because he wants them to come to him first before all of a sudden they drain the bank account, because they don't do him any good if they've already drained the bank account
right.
arguing about everything. And then a perfect tie would be, now you're going to show them how to get divorced amicably and have money when they get done rather than give it to the attorneys. And then you could work with them, right? So it's getting to them even one step beyond or before
right.
what you were talking about, which is why I thought about it, is rather than when they filed divorce or when they filed, you know, there's another friend works with people who've recently filed bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
So he can just go get a public record of everybody who's filed bankruptcy. Which
yeah, again, those are predictable ones. Yeah. And sometimes they're predictable and sometimes they aren't.
Yeah, exactly. But then you have a prospect. And what we find is, and this is where we start talking about, you know, current jargon is marketing funnels. But we start talking about follow-up and education and development. And I think what you and I find with almost everybody is they don't differentiate between somebody who looks like they should be a client and somebody who's actually raised their hand and said, I'm interested, right? And then they don't, and we can do it on here. That's a good note you gave me.
Yeah.
But they don't differentiate between somebody who should be a client versus somebody who's raised their hand and expressed interest. And then once somebody raises their hand and expresses an interest, they give up on them way too soon,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, in funnel is kind of a new internet.
It's been around for a while, but, you know, in marketing terms, but I think people are using that term more.
Yeah.
And they start talking about internet funnels because even people that aren't internet savvy or
right.
computer savvy keep hearing these terms.
Yeah.
So we need to kind of explain it to everybody in a way that really makes sense. So that you're hearing about it in the right way.
Yeah, and of course, you know, funnel in the most obvious term is it's a sorting mechanism where you start at the top and you get to the bottom. I tend to think of it more as follow-up steps and on sales conversion steps. And to some extent, they're different, right? And let's start on this side. So on this side is taking somebody who raises their hand and
raises their hand for everybody, just so we're really clear, is somebody that responds to any of your marketing.
Yeah.
So you've done some marketing, they're originally suspect. So they haven't done anything with you, they don't know you, they have no interactions with you. They just meet your criteria for an ideal client. So if you are working with, and we were talking about divorced people that are impending divorces, and you've got the list of people that have filed for divorce but haven't gotten divorced yet, then those would be suspects. They don't know anything about you, but you've marketed to them, and somehow they've responded to something online, or they've called you, or they've you know, been to some event you've done. So somehow you've got their information, so they know you, or they've contacted you.
Yeah,
that would be changing them from a suspect to somebody that we call a prospect. They've moved down this funnel. So they've, when Steve's saying raise their hand, our terminology for raising their hand means they've contacted you somehow.
Yeah. It could be they filled out an opt-in form on mm-hmm. a website. It could be they picked up the phone and called you. It could be they showed up to a client event that was designed to generate referrals. And you captured their information there. It you know, it could be any number of things.
So. Yeah, but that shift from suspect to prospect, that shift from being one of your ideal clients but don't know you to somebody that has responded to you is enormous.
Yeah.
They could be 10 to 100 times more responsive from that point down. So you can now target them more specifically. You can spend more money and energy and time on those guys.
Yeah. Well, the example, I mean, I'm going to get myself in trouble on this one, but it's Dan Kennedy's example. So anybody, if you piss anybody off, get pissed at Dan. But he tells the example of, if you don't know it, almost every state sells your driver's license information, right?
There's information for you if you didn't know that.
Yeah. So they sell name, mailing address, what other details they have. But on that is also sex, height, and weight. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of weight loss people decided, wow, our primary client or customer is female, and they are on average X amount overweight. And so with
so they take their height and their weight, and they can figure out their BMI,
Yeah, exactly. So they went through the driver's license things and created mailing lists based upon a certain BMI and above. Didn't work very well. And, you know, the analysis, well, why wouldn't this work very well? Because we know they're female, we know geography, where they live, we know what their BMI is or what, you know, height and weight and one thing or another. We know that they need what we're providing. That's, again, everybody needs it. Well, what you didn't know is you didn't know that they cared.
Right.
You didn't know they had any motivation to lose weight. You didn't know that they were in any way paying attention. And the contrast, by the way, in that industry is there's all kinds of direct response marketing people who are running infomercials and ads and exercise equipment and everything else. Well, those are called response lists. What you can do is you can buy the list of everybody who raised their hand for somebody else's advertising. And you can buy the response list hot list, meaning they're feeding you everybody within the first 30 days. So you know that when they're in heat, when they're chasing this stuff down, if you're in that same industry, get rich. You know, real estate is another one where it's easy to do. But you could go after people who are looking for exercise equipment. You can go after people who are buying another weight loss product, one thing or another, and market to them immediately.
Well, or you could take the list of people that you bought the list of. Yeah. Height and weight,
right,
and the list of people buying for exercise equipment, mm-hmm. and that would be a really good list to have.
Yeah.
Because that list, you'd know that they're looking for both of those things. Yeah. But the list of people that just have height and weight, as you said, that's just a suspect list. Yeah. They met our ideal characteristics, but not really. You didn't meet the third characteristics of they also care. They give a darn about whether or not they're going to lose weight.
Another example, if people didn't know, if you have an Amex card. Right? And so if I was going to open a high-end steakhouse here in the area, I could go to Amex and say, I want anybody who's, you know, dined at this level of steakhouse or higher over this period of time. And I could literally if they paid on their Amex card, I could be going after all of my competitors' customers with Amex's support and help because they'll give you that list.
Yeah, right? It's surprising. So, you think that Facebook is the only company that is knowing about your private information, but
no,
even your government with the driver's license information and everywhere. This is pretty common for forever.
What? And to Facebook's credit, they were buying up, you know, anybody's data that they could get. Still are aggregating a bunch of that data, so it's not just coming up with click data. It's coming up with all that other stuff.
Yeah, and we're all in favor of this, by the way, because we want to use it. We like this stuff, so that we're in favor of all this because we want to use this for you so that you can market better for your business.
Yeah.
So keep that information coming.
But so going back to this, you know, most people are familiar, but here's a opt-in page of some sort, right? So I have an opt-in. Let's say I have an opt-in on my website that says, here's a free report on blank, right? College planning, retirement planning, how not to run out of income in retirement, the coming Biden tax plan, how it's going to affect your retirement. I mean, any notes.
We're going to go through a lot of these in another segment on how to build this level of type of marketing as well. Yeah. So don't focus too much on this. Yeah. But it's something that they would want to respond to.
Yeah.
So building something appealing that they would respond to. By the way, almost all the websites we see and marketing we see is super lame here. It's set an appointment.
It's horrible.
Which is, we'll go through this we don't have time for this today, but there's a lot of reasons why that's horrible and it just sucks. Yeah. So.
Well, it's skipping a step.
It's skipping a step. It's trying to get them down here. Yeah. And you have to start with a more attractive step that's softer and easier up top.
Yeah, it could be a They register for a webinar. It could be a pretend live, automated.
And it might depend on the type of suspect that you have coming in that you're marketing to and why you're marketing it in the media. So there's a lot of other reasons why these might be different depending on what's up top above this.
Yeah. And what we'll always build is a sequence where the minute they raise their hand, we're going to assume two things that are contradictory. You got to be able to keep more than one idea in your mind at any one time. One is they may be ready to buy today. Two is they may need to be educated for as long as necessary in order to buy.
Yeah, right? This is really important. Yeah. Make sure those two things are here. Just because they respond doesn't mean they're ready to buy now, but it might mean they're ready to buy now or ready to move forward with you now and get an appointment with you now. So that's really critical.
Well, and by the way, you know, on Facebook, you and I both play prospect for every advisor that we can, you know, come up with. And almost all of them use Facebook lead pages, ask a couple questions, and then ask you to set a time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what happens is if that's the only response mechanism, they're just getting those people who are ready to talk to a salesperson. Because that's the way people feel, right? Is, you know, no matter how much you say, we'll give you free advice on your retirement plan, what they're hearing is, I'm going to set a time with somebody who's going to try to get me to buy something.
Yeah, that's important to think about. So up here, these are up here before they would come into your funnel or come into your world, however you want to think about this. They're people that meet your criteria. They don't know you, they don't know anything, and you're going to market to them. What Steve's saying is a few of them might be willing to just meet with you.
Yeah.
So you market to them and they'll meet with you. Okay, that's going to be some people, some small percentage. Some people might be willing to get some free information from you. And because they got that free information, maybe now they'd be willing to meet with you because they got something free from you. Some other people might be willing to get that, might like that free information, and then might like to get some follow-up information for a while, but it might not be the right time for them yet to meet with you.
Yeah.
And like we just said, we had somebody 9 years.
9 years.
And we've had people longer than that.
That was Marty.
Was it?
Yeah.
I've had people in my businesses for 15 years. And by the way, then their grandkids come later.
No, this was before he did anything. He had been on our list, getting mail, getting email, getting texts for 9 years before he, you know, threw in the towel and decided that he better hire us.
But we've had other people in some of our other businesses for like grandkids,
right?
You know, so we can give you examples for 20 years where, you know, they're getting information for decades sometimes, and then they finally decide to get with you. And in this business, that would be a really common thing.
Yeah.
So understand, now if you think about those three groups separately, the ones that would call you right away, the ones that would get the information and call you or meet with you, and the ones that would then need more education for a while, you know, all three groups are fine. But in the other example you just gave, most marketing is just come and marry me for day one.
Yeah.
And that's why that doesn't work.
Well, the websites that we look at, I don't know, what we looked at the last few months? Several hundred. And almost always, I mean, if they're really sophisticated, they have a scheduling link. So they've used Calendarly or we have schedule ones. They've used something that says schedule an appointment now. But the only call to action is contact us, and it has, you know, a phone number or one thing or another.
Yeah, the assumption is the website does some of the education and people are going to screw around on their website for a while. And that's enough education. But that's just not... it's not inadequate. So, number one, they're either jumping to the bottom appointment, or even if they did have a free report, the education follow-up is not very good, is the example we mentioned a while ago. So, you're just missing out on so much of the possible business that you could get.
Well, or frankly, they're like me, right? To me, you know, things that I'm interested in that I'm going to buy is... I mean, it's pulling teeth for me to get on the phone with somebody. Mm-hmm. And for God's sake, if they want me to come and, you know, get a $50 stay to listen to a 2-hour presentation. Screw that. I'm not going to
Right.
You know, because you and I are both always in the
We're the same way about that.
Well, one, humans. But two is my time's worth $1,000 an hour, and you're not going to bribe me with $20 to.
If I'm ready to buy, I'm ready to buy.
But also is I'll educate myself, and I'll watch some stuff, and I'll read some reports. I mean, you could give me 500 pages, and I'll read it, right? But you know, it's pulling teeth. We just committed for an ad campaign, and mostly they would have talked to somebody 5-6 times, one thing or another. I had gone through the media kit, gone through everything, and this was 10 minutes of negotiation. We're done. And by the way, you know, email me, but don't expect me to read it, right? So you've got to deal with all kinds, and we're at the extreme.
Right.
But what you want is you want on the website, on everything you do, some reason for them to raise their hand that's short of give me a call right now, make an appointment. And you want different educational material that's not going to teach them how to do it themselves, but it's going to teach them, you know, why you're good at what you do, and how that works, right? And then you want to be able to drip on them forever. And I'm not talking about just email, but you're wanting to drip on them forever, share YouTube videos, share other information forever until they're ready to take the next step and set an appointment with you.
Yeah, and this isn't as, you know, when we say forever, it isn't as cumbersome as you think. We help with this. Yeah. We're going to help you build this out. But this is not, again, not just email.
No, it's all automated.
It's mail. It's automated, but it's going to be mail, text messaging, and whatever media. Maybe there'll be new media in the next 5 years that we have to throw in here. But what has to happen is they just continue to get warmed up until they're ready. But these are prospects in here. So suspects are the ones that are above this.
That's your avatar.
Yeah, this is the avatar. These are the ones that are meeting your criteria. They don't know you. Once they know you, they come in here, and this could be, again, a lot of different ways, not just this one way. But then they start being part of your world. Then we can start spending money and time on them. And we could spend, you know, as the example we mentioned, I don't know if it's in this segment or a different one, but a client might be worth $5,000, they might be worth $50,000 over their whole lifetime with us. Well, we could send them $25 worth of direct mail. We could send them a box of stuff. We could send them, depending on the type of client, the type of avatar we're looking for, we might be able to direct mail them a bunch of pieces. We might, you know, on certain times of the year, send them a holiday card, send them certain pieces. So there's all kinds of things we can do, but we can spend more money on them once they get into our world. Could we do that to everybody in the whole world if we were, let's say, working with divorced women between 45 and 55? We couldn't do that to every single suspect that was out there because it'd be too many, and we wouldn't know, just like the weight loss example, if weight loss companies sent direct mail to every woman that was over a 31 BMI, they'd go broke. Because the response rate wouldn't be very high. But once they responded to some marketing that they had put out there, and they knew they were interested because now they knew they cared, now they could start marketing to them more and giving the direct mail pieces, maybe send them a package. Now they could have outbound telemarketing to them. They could do all kinds of other stuff. That would be well worth their time and effort and money. So it's very important to know the difference between suspects and prospects, and then what you can do to market to them from then on.
Yeah, and you know, we're gonna run out of time here, but to look at all of this is, I really want that it'll be a conversation for a different topic or a different conversation. But let's say that I'm advertising on LinkedIn, and I'm advertising on Facebook, and I'm advertising with direct mail, and I'm advertising with, you know, go through the list. Maybe I'm buying leads from SmartAssets.
Or doing Google AdWords, maybe.
Yeah, Google AdWords. I have to know what my cost is for a click and know what my conversion ratio is from click to prospect. In other words, they filled out a form. And sometimes it's a multi-stage form. Maybe I got a name and an email address, and I got, or a phone number, and then I got a mailing address, and I got some demographic information, how much assets they have, what their income is. And I've got to decide at what point I've got enough information that they're worthwhile for me. But I got to know how much a click costs. I've got to know how much a prospect costs, which is an easy computation if I know what my ratio is. Then I've got to know what an appointment costs. And then I've got to know what a new client costs, right? And if I don't know my conversion rates at each stage, I don't know those numbers. And starting down here, I have to know, you know, how much are they going to spend immediately? How much are they going to spend with me in the first year? How much are they going to spend with me over the lifetime? Michael Kitches, I like to give credit anytime they did, had a great report on advisor marketing. One of the example he uses, you know, 500,000 assets under management, 1% fee, 5,000 a year, average of 20 years, $100,000. And so if I know that lifetime value is $100,000, and I know the first year is $5,000, then how much am I willing to spend to get a client? And then how much am I willing to spend to get an appointment? I can extrapolate. How much am I willing to spend to get a prospect? How much am I willing to spend to get a visitor to the site or a click, however you want it? And if I don't know that math, I don't know how to put all this stuff together.
Yeah, and I think the question to ask yourself is, if you're going to get a $500,000 of assets under management from one client, and that's making $5,000 in a year, the first year, would you be willing to spend $500?
Yeah.
See, I'd spend $500 all day long. That's a 10-to-1 return on your first year.
Well, you and I would spend $5,000.
We would spend $5,000 because that's a 20-to-1 return on investment lifetime value for the client. So, but you
even,
know,
even adjusted for time value of money and all that.
Absolutely.
So it's a shitload of money.
Exactly. Yeah. The thing is that most of the people we talk to, most of the people we talk to, oh, but I spent, you know, $50, it took, or $100. I can't spend $100. They complain about spending very small amounts of money.
Mailing a postcard's
client.
Expensive.
Mailing, or spending $20 or $30. Now, I understand if you were going to spend that for suspects. You can't, because you don't know if they care yet. You don't know if they're interested. But once they raise their hand, the dollar amounts change, because the response rate at this point is much higher. That's why it's really important to know the difference between suspects and prospects.
Yeah, yesterday we were talking to a group of clients, and I had said, you know, if nothing else, go play prospect to any of Fisher's stuff, go play prospect to Smart Advisor. Because they're very good at asking enough questions to get to an idea, and what they're doing behind the scenes, they're sorting out, here's somebody who's not worth spending any money on. Here's somebody worth spending a little bit. Here's somebody worth spending a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're sorting it out behind the scenes.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Well, you know, on that note, we're kind of running out of time. But we'll pick up on marketing math, on statistics, on benchmarks and ratios in a different section. But we want to start with, there's a big difference in value between somebody who's in the general public versus they very narrowly fit your target audience, versus they raise their hand. At, you know, this, the general population of the United States, is, you know, each lead isn't worth much, if anything. But very tightly, what magazine they subscribe to, what they like to buy, what the, you know, income level is, how old they are, where they live. The more data you get, especially response data, then it makes it much more valuable. But the real click point is they've raised their hand and said, yes, I'm interested in what you have to offer. And that's when you really go, again, if they're qualified, you really go to town on staying with them forever and educating them, but also really working hard to convert them immediately.
Yeah, and don't forget to go to advisorwealthmastery.com. I don't know if we mentioned that before on our call today. There's a lot of information. You can get a whole package of information that helps you walk through a lot of these steps and has content so that you can use it at each of these steps. So it's advisorwealthmastery.com. Fill out the form there. You get a big package of information that we can help you with.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of free resources on the site.
Yeah, and a lot of information that follows up on what we've talked about today. Yeah.